This morning, Brother John Dockery was teaching in the Sunday school class, I believe with a central theme and thought, which I appreciated so much, and that was the priorities that exist in that of a true, living, Bible-preaching church. First and foremost is that of the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And within that gospel, there would be no gospel without the shed blood of our precious Savior. This song has a little bit of a Father's Day message in it, if you'll just listen to the words and let God speak to you. I think back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 17 and verse 11, I believe it is. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And then the writer in Hebrews says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And the title of this song is simply this: "It's Still the Blood."
Once I wandered in sin's black night, there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser of the Lord did cry, "He is a sinner, and now he must die."
It's still the blood
Jesus, that brings victory to me.
I enjoyed that this morning. Amen. Wonderful truth. Wonderful song. Amen. Still the blood of Jesus. The Passover over in the book of Exodus. That's not where we're going to be this morning in our reading. But God told the children of Israel in that last judgment on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, he said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn in every house was going to die unless the doorpost and the lintel were marked with the blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I believe there's so much confusion in the world today. There's some that would think, well, Brother Vinoy's going to heaven because he's a good daddy, or because he's a pastor, or because he reads the Bible, or because he prays, or because he tries to preach and minister to others. But there's only one reason Brother Vinoy's going to heaven. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. I appreciate the Lord. We're going to be in Genesis chapter number 6 and some other places in the Bible this morning too. Some of you look like you need a little bit of encouragement to pray. So I will say this. I've got 10 things I want to share with you this morning. You're laughing now. I don't know if you'll be laughing after a while, but amen. But literally, I have 10 things pinned down here that I want to share with you this morning. And I hope and pray that the message will be a blessing to you. There are many times when I don't know till Saturday evening for sure what God wants me to preach. Sometimes I haven't known till Sunday morning at 8 or 9 o'clock. There have been a few times when I'd be sitting on the pew listening to the choir and God would just change completely the thought that he put on my mind. Laura played a song a while ago. And when she played it Thursday when the piano was delivered, I literally just about melted in the floor. The title of the song is He Leadeth Me. Oh, dear God, I want him to lead me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. What a blessing to be led of the Lord. Stand with me, Will, if you will, please, and let's read a couple of verses of Scripture. In verse number 5 of Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible said, and God saw the wickedness of man. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but think about the heart of God. The Bible said he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You think about the heart of God before man ever fell in the Garden of Eden. The Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God already had it worked out. You know, Adam and Eve didn't mess up, and God said, oops. Oh, no. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. He already had a plan. Think about his heart, how great his heart is, and how great it must be for his heart to be grieved. The Bible said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Here's that word again. Y'all been around here a little while. You know I love this word in the Bible. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You can be seated. Pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this character, this man in the Bible by the name of Noah. And God, I pray this morning that you would manifest your presence in our midst. Could be, Lord, somebody needs to be saved. Could be, Lord, somebody needs to be encouraged. Could be, Lord, that somebody needs strength. God, I just pray, Lord, that whatever we need, you'd meet that need this morning. Lord, you said you knew what we needed even before we asked, but you said to ask, we should receive. I pray, God, you'd bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like to speak to you this morning, if I could, for a little while on this subject, Noah, a godly man in an ungodly world. Noah, a godly man in an ungodly world. I believe if there's anything this world needs in the day and hour that we live in, it's more godly daddies. Noah was a godly dad in an ungodly world. The Bible talks about the wickedness and how it was so great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If I'd ever looked this up before, I'd forgotten it, but last night I looked it up again. The word Noah, the name Noah in Hebrew means, and we need this today, it means rest. The Bible said, rest in the Lord. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, when we look at what's going on around us today, that God's men, God's people, God's daddies need to rest in the Lord. You say, Pastor, you believe Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? I know he did. That's the first thing in the message today. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I believe God today, even today. You say, Pastor, I'll just tie this in with something that's going to come a little bit later in the message. Why are you all the way over there in that old Bible? Why are you all the way over there talking about Noah and talking about his kids and talking about his wife and talking about their wives, talking about a big boat or an ark, if you please, talking about the judgment of God? We're living in 2023. What's that got to do with us? How about this? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I don't know if you're paying attention or not. I know that some people never watch the news, but I'm telling you, there is some ungodly things going on in this world that we live in. Down there at Dodger Stadium, they honored a bunch of sodomites. They honored a bunch of people, beloved, that were outside the stadium with someone on a cross, and then someone else going upside down, and somebody else coming over the top, mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, mocking Brother Larry, the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary's cross. I'm telling you, beloved, there's wickedness on every hand. But the message today is this. My responsibility is not to eliminate the wickedness. God's going to take care of that. My responsibility is to live godly in the midst of an ungodly world. That's my responsibility as a child of God, as a daddy, as a pastor, as a husband, to live godly. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'll say this morning before I move on to the second thing in the message. I'm standing here today because I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Someone said an acrostic for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Honey, I'm telling you, he came to me that night in February in 1987 and showed me that I was a sinner. And I was real good at it, but he showed me he is a Savior. Thank God he is better at saving than I was at sinning. Amen. And I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you this morning, there may be some in America and around the world boasting in themselves. But I tell you, if anybody's ever been to Calvary, we have nothing to boast in. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A godly daddy, you can't be godly without God. There has to come an encounter, beloved, where you understand that you need him, amen. That you can't do it on your own. You can't raise those children by yourself. You're going to have help that comes from above. The second thing in the message is Noah walked with God. You know what I believe today? We need some dads. Look what the Bible said right here. The Bible said these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. I'll tell you this morning. I can, as we sang the song, Precious Memories. My dad didn't always walk with God. But there come a day when God got daddy's attention. And my daddy was saved by the grace of God. And my daddy joined the church. My daddy was a deacon. And I'll have to say, my daddy was a godly man, a godly example. He was a preacher's friend, amen. He was around the church working when nobody was looking, amen. Painting and mowing grass and fixing gutter and everything you could think of, amen. He was doing it not to be seen because it needed to be done. Because he loved Jesus. He loved the church. He loved God's people. Noah walked with God. Beloved, I believe it's important in this day and hour that we live in that godly men just continue. Walk on. Walk with God. Amen. I remember Enoch walked with God in the scripture. Oh, Brother May said one day, he said, Enoch, and God was walking, and God said, Enoch, you know, it's closer to my house than it is yours. And he just took him on home. Amen. Thank God for men that will walk with God. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe down there where we work, down there where we go to school, down there where we live, I believe this world needs to see somebody walking with God. Somebody's got God on them. I'll say this, beloved. Listen, I'll move on. Noah, I don't believe, didn't just have God in him, but he had God on him. Amen. You say, Pastor, how come you believe Noah had God on him? If Noah didn't have God on him, how in the world do you get three boys? Are you listening to me working on the same project for 120 years together? Amen. Pulling in the same direction. I'm telling you, that daddy had God on him. Amen. Beloved, the Bible said he walked with God. Look at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The Bible said in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Not only did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah walked with God, but listen to me, this is important. Noah had an ear that was bent towards the throne of God, and Noah listened to God when God spoke to him. You say, Pastor, why is that important? Beloved, I believe it's important that we hear the voice of God. It's not always a fire. It's not always a tornado, so to speak, or a hurricane. But many, many times it's that still, small voice of God, and He's leading you in a direction where He wants you to go. Noah, listen. God said unto Noah, you say, Pastor, how do you know that Noah listened? Because he started gathering gopher wood, and he started making pegs, and he got the mallets out and started putting it together. And when he got it put together, he pitched it on the outside, pitched it on the inside, put a window around the top, put a door in the side of it. You say, Pastor, how do you know he listened? Because he did it just exactly like God told him to do it. That ought to be the desire of every dad's heart in this building, is to live your life just exactly how God wants you to live it. He's a godly dad, but he's living in an ungodly world. You say, Pastor, I never thought it would get this bad. You may disagree with me, but I'm wondering if it wasn't even worse in Noah's day than it is today. I do know this, the comparison is to be made. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming. You see, the Bible said they were marrying and given in marriage. You say, Pastor, what's all that talking about? The world was going on like judgment was not coming. And that's exactly what's going on today. I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen to me. There'll be some people on this earth changing their mind about a lot of things. If they understood that judgment is just around the corner, they'd be looking to get under that blood and be saved by the grace of God from the wrath that's to come upon this earth. Noah listened to the Lord. Now, some people listen to the Lord, but they don't get this next thing. They don't obey Him. They hear the voice of God, and then they don't obey the voice of God. But Noah, beloved, if you look in your Bible here, in verse number 22, the Word of God said, take unto thee all the food, in verse 21, that is eaten, thou shalt gather with thee, and it be food for thee and for them. Thus, look what the Bible said, did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Beloved friend, it's a blessing to understand that according to the Bible, Noah didn't just hear the voice of God, but he obeyed the voice of God. Listen to what the Bible said, beloved, in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, he heard the warning. You know what's sad? In pulpits just like this in America, the warning is not being sounded. That's what's sad. Honey, if the warning, if nobody's blowing the trumpet, nobody can hear the warning. Amen. But I will tell you, beloved, just as it was in the days of Noah, judgment was coming upon an ungodly world, and judgment's coming upon this ungodly world that we live in. Not going to be a flood this time. Oh, he says, shoo. No, fire. Read your Bible. God put a rainbow in the sky, and he said, I'm not going to do it like this again. I'm not going to do it like this again. There's never going to be a flood again like this. But I tell you, the Bible said the earth's going to melt with fervent heat. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, Jesus is coming. He's coming for His own.
And then at the end of that tribulation, thank God he's coming with his own. Then he's going to set up a 1,000-year millennial reign. Are you listening to me? And then the Bible said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Noah obeyed the Lord. Noah being warned of God, Hebrews 11:7. This is what the Bible said next. By faith, Noah being warned of God. Then it said this, moved with fear. I heard a preacher say years ago, Brother Jason, he said, the Baptist anthem is, I shall not be moved. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. If I understand the Bible, when Jesus looked at the multitudes that were lost, he was moved with compassion. Amen. The Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Years ago, I'm aware I've told this story before, but the Lord's leading me to tell it again. Some of you have not heard it. I was pastor in my first church in Wise, Virginia. Everybody asked me, where'd you go to school? I tell them, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. That's where I went to school. 5.5 years, amen. And I got a good schooling, I really did. I appreciate the Lord letting me have that experience, amen. But my brother Herman Anderson, some of y'all know him from here in Kingsport, old-time preacher. Brother Herman loved God. He loved the church. He'd rear back and preach the word of God. Amen. I had Brother Herman up there for revival. And Brother Herman was preaching revival, and he and I were out visiting in the afternoon. And we ran into 3 teenagers in a backyard that was willing to listen. And they listened to the gospel. And under a gazebo, amen, in the backyard, 3 teenagers bowed and said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we rejoiced in that. Every time I'd see Brother Herman after that, he would want to reminisce about them 3 teenagers getting saved. But I tell you this, they told me they'd come to church. They didn't come. So I went back and visited with them again. They told me, yeah, we'll come. Well, third or fourth time I went back and visited with them, Brother Preston, they said, we can't come. I said, why not, youngins? They said, Mom won't let us. Mom won't let us. That didn't discourage me, Brother Chris. I said, I just go to work on Mom. Amen? That's right. She gets a good dose of what them kids got. They'll be in church. So I knocked on the door. Right? I mean, it wasn't a mile from the church up Polebridge Road where she lived. I knocked on that door. And that woman said to me, she answered the door and said, I wish you would mind your own business. And I'm going to tell you, it hurt a little bit down on the inside. Amen. It hurt. And I just started to turn down off the porch. I mean, it was obvious. It was obvious there wasn't going to be no winning that lady that day. I started down off the porch and I turned around. I said, ma'am, can I ask you one question before I go? And she said, sure. I said, if I was driving down this road here, and I looked over here, and they lived in a mobile home, I said, and this mobile home was on fire. I said, would you want me to stop and beat on the door? Maybe see if one of your youngins needed help or you needed help? Or would you want me to go on down the road and mind my own business? I give God the glory for this. I'm not smart enough to think of stuff like that. And she said, well, I guess I'd appreciate it if you stopped. I said, ma'am, the reason I stopped, you're headed for a lot worse fire than a mobile home being on fire. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, beloved, I believe that Noah obeyed God. He was warned of God. He was sounding the warning. The Word of God said later on in the message that he was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years, and God said, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. Amen. Noah obeyed the Lord. He moved with fear. And then Noah, his name means rest. Noah rested in the Lord. Look at chapter 9, if you would, please. And verse number 20. excuse me, that's not the right verse for that. Noah rested in the Lord. His name means rest. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter number 37. And I believe this is important to see because we are living in a perverse and a wicked generation. But in Psalm chapter 37, the Bible said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Look at verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Beloved, I don't know about you, but 120 years is a long time to be cutting boards and driving pegs. But God gave Noah the instruction. And Noah, he did not listen to me. We need to hear this morning. Pastor needs to hear this morning. Noah did not rest from the work. Noah rested in the work. Did everybody hear what I just said? Noah did not just lay back in a recliner, amen, and not do what God told him to do. Noah found rest because Noah found grace and Noah was obedient. How many's ever figured this out? If you get to where you can't do anything during the day, you can't be active, you can't do anything in the garden, you can't do anything in the yard, maybe some kind of illness has taken over. How many understands how hard it is to rest at night? But you get out and you work all day, honey, and I'm going to tell you something right now. When that pillar comes, you welcome that pillar, amen? Am I right or am I wrong? We can find rest. We don't need to be trying to rest from the work of God. We need to find our rest in the work of God. Noah rested in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we won't turn there, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah represented the Lord. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7, the Bible teaches us that Noah won his own family. Chapter 7 in Genesis and verse 1 says the same thing. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come thou and all thy house." If you'll read and study your Bible, you'll see that God desires that the family circle be unbroken. You remember when the Philippian jailer, beloved, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Then he added these words, "And thy house."
Amen. Amen.
You say, "Well, Noah preached 120 years and only 8 got on the boat." I'm going to tell you something right now. Noah's name is in the Hall of Faith. I've heard some of these, I've been around some of these conferences. They act like, "Brother Jack, if you're not baptizing 500 people every year, you ain't doing nothing for God." I can't wait till the judgment seat. Some of them old mountain preachers been preaching to 10 or 15 or 20 people for 50 years and been faithful to the book and faithful to their family and faithful to that church. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe some of the big dogs will take a back seat in that day. God's not judging the work by what size it is. He's looking at it by what sort it is. Not just what we do, but why do we do what we do? Daddy, why do you do what you do? It ought to be because you love Jesus and you love your family and you love the church of the living God. That ought to be the reason we do what we do. Amen. We ought to win sinners because we love them. Because we love them. He said, Pastor, love sinners? Yeah. I didn't say love sin. Love sinners. Hate sin. All at the same time. I'm telling you, them people that's mocking God and mocking the cross and mocking, beloved, the church, they're going to fry in hell forever and ever and ever if they don't get saved by the grace of God. But let me give you something. So is that good moral man that never gets to Calvary, that never understands his need. I'm reminded, Brother Rusty, of what you shared with us a while back, how that statement that Brother C.T. made began to prick your heart. He said, even good old boys go to hell. Even good old boys go to hell. I'm going to tell you today, Noah was a godly dad, but right in the middle of an ungodly world. I'll say this, about done. Noah's with the Lord. He said, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, the Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. The Word of God said, when you're born again, you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. People think we're arrogant if we say we know we're going to heaven. No, we're just believers. We just believe what he said. Amen. God said, if I'd trust his son, amen, he'd forgive me of my sin and give me everlasting life. That's exactly what he did. Beloved, last time I checked, eternal and everlasting is a long, 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 actually, when times shall be no more. Amen. Thank God. Noah won his family. Noah is with the Lord. Noah set a pattern in his day. And God wants us to set a pattern in our day. A pattern knowing that just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I'm closing. I don't like to close on a negative note, but I believe God's in this. Turn with me, please. I believe there's probably a daddy in the house, if not more than one, that needs this last thing right here. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, please. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 20. How many believes Noah was a godly daddy in an ungodly world? I mean, I only have one son and three daughters, but I can't imagine having three sons. While me and my son on the same project had a hard time getting along. I remember working with him over at Cedar View Christian School. That boy about drove me crazy. He was 14 and knew everything. My brother said it like this. He said, it's what you learn after you know everything that really counts. We're working together. Daddy, why don't we do this? We done fixed four or five of them classrooms. Man, we had a system. Tearing them old metal frame windows out and framing them up and putting double pane windows in and lowering the ceilings and doing all the carpenter work. Somebody else did the carpet work and the painting. I didn't get to lick the gravy. I had to do the hard work. Anyway, it got to be lunchtime. And I said to my son one day, I said, son, you've got some good ideas and what you're talking about will work. But I said, son, you need to understand that on any given job, somebody's got to lead and somebody's got to follow. Everybody can't lead. I said, so here's the deal, son. I said, we're going to get us some lunch. And I said, after lunch, if you want to lead, I said, you go ahead. I said, son, just get the material list together for tomorrow. I said, son, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I'll hand you whatever tool you need. We'll get at it. Go right at it, son. I said, you can be the leader if you want to do that right after lunch. 20 seconds. He said, you go ahead and lead, Dad. I think the materialist got him. Alone. The materialist alone, amen. I believe Noah was a leader in his family. I believe he set the example for them boys. Now, the Bible don't say, but there may have been a day or two when he had to set his boys down. Amen. I can remember working with my dad. And every once in a while, I'd get a 5-gallon bucket and literally kick it over in the corner. Go over there and stand it up and sit down on it. And my dad'd say, son, what are you doing? He'd say, get up and do something if it is wrong. I say, Dad, that's the problem now. It's taken us a half a day to fix what we did wrong. I said, it'd be better to think about it a few minutes and do it right to start with. You've got that clash. I imagine Noah had that clash going on a little bit. But he kept them boys together, amen. And they kept a pegging, kept a cutting, kept a pitching till they got it done. And one day God invited them to come in. Come on in to that ark. God knew what would float. Modern shipbuilders still build ships to the same proportion that God told Noah to build the ark. The last thing in the message today, if you look at chapter number 9 and verse number 20, Noah's done got off the ark now. Everything's back to normal. The floods have receded. The animals have got off the ark. And if you missed that message a few Sundays back, you need to listen to it. It was bringing out things like if two roosters got on the ark, there'd be no Chick-fil-A. If two bulls got on the ark, there'd be no steakhouse in Kingsport. Male and female. Somebody said something to me last week, said this ungodly bunch, this perverted bunch, said the reason they're wanting to recruit them in kindergarten because they can't reproduce. Think about that for just a minute. You better try to keep your babies out of that mess. Because I promise you they're trying to suck them into that mess. Verse number 20, and I'm done. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. God must have blessed it, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. I'm not going to go into all that, but I'm going to just say this. I believe God wants me to say it. He's led me, he's trying to prepare the message. Even a godly dad can fail the Lord. Do you hear what I said? Even a godly dad. How many dads have tried to live for the Lord and yet you can go back in your mind, listen to me, and you can remember maybe you were correcting your child or you can remember something that you did, you just blew it. Is there a dad in the house besides me that just blew it? I mean blew it. Well, guess what? Noah didn't just find grace in the beginning. Noah found grace in the end. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? He's not in Hebrews 11 if he didn't find grace in the end. Remember this, Dad. Failure's not final. Get up. Serve the Lord. Amen. Perhaps one day God will let us stand there and hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. What a blessing that would be. Say amen.
Amen.
Noah, amen. A godly dad in an ungodly world. Father, thank you this morning for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the man, Noah. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand that, Lord, in Noah's time, it was a time of great wickedness. And Father, today, we know the ungodliness is all around us. And Lord, really, we've been blessed here in East Tennessee, but even now, it's beginning to squeeze in on us. Lord, would you help us? Help us to live godly, regardless of how ungodly the world is around us.
Lord, the language is ungodly. Lord, the actions, the lifestyles, so many are ungodly. Help us to live for Thee, Lord, because You were willing to die for us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.